to help build a community.
Right, and to recognize from what you said, this isn't us saying, yes, we're going to build the dog park, let's get the construction team together. It is to say, yes, we agree that we are going to embark upon the process to determine whether or not there's a feasible place for it, and it's something that is acceptable to the future users. So I would say certainly yes.
So we've come to consensus that it meets our mission and vision. So that's great. So I can discussion continues. It doesn't end. I just assumed that might happen. So to go on to this. So if yes, then the board should discuss and come to a consensus on site selection criteria. A board and staff have eliminated sites so far that have established uses or district-sponsored activities. So that could be a softball field, soccer field, baseball field, things of that nature. And then sensitive environmental habitats. So, for example, the wildflower garden, the bird sanctuary, those are, we consider, sensitive environmental habitats. We would not want to put a dog park in there. Okay, but then we need to have the board select other criteria. So as we venture down and look at the different sites, we want to make sure that we're eliminating sites that the board does not believe fit into the criteria. So what I want the board to talk about now is, do we want to eliminate any of the sites, or do we want to add any other criteria? So things that I would like you to talk about is, does the board want to eliminate sites that directly abut to residents? And if you say, well, yes, but maybe if there's a buffer area or something like that, I just need to know your parameters on that. So I'll throw it back to you guys.
I'm not sure we have, I could be wrong, but specific, it needs to be X number of feet from a property. I would think that we would be sensitive and attempt. I just don't think that it's feasible to put a dog park up against somebody's property line. That's certainly not going to work. So you would endeavor to put it someplace where it wouldn't directly impact a neighbor or neighbors. But the rest of these criteria, absolutely.
So do we all agree that we do not want it to directly abut a residence?
So fence to property line?
Like property line to property line, or if we have a big park and has more of a buffer.
So what's
your
thoughts?
I just think it's impossible to give you an absolute answer.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on, I mean, technically speaking, we absolutely could have put a dog park directly adjacent to somebody's property. It's our land.
Correct.
We could do that if we decided that was in the public's interest.
That's right.
I'm certain we would get very strong pushback on that. And that may not be something that we want to do, both because of that and because we're fellow citizens.
So is it fair to frame it as we would consider it, it should be under consideration, but only if there is a suitable barrier between the actual dog park and the nearest property, or something else.
I think if there's a buffer, I think we all know it's challenging, that our community is challenging in terms of where our city lives and where our houses are. So I think this is why this discussion has been going on many years. So if there's a buffer, I think it's going to have to be okay. I mean, obviously, we're sensitive to that. We're homeowners. We're in the community. We know that, you know, it might be offensive as possible to where it goes. And I think some of the discussions we've had, there is a really big buffer between the houses. So it's going to depend on the site and the feedback.
Okay. That's good right here. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I think everybody's summarizing it. We need a buffer if it's going to be anywhere near anybody's house. I mean, we know that the major concern is going to be noise.
If I may ask people to try to speak up a little
bit. Yeah, I'm really sorry. This is awful. I'm feeling terrible speaking that way.
You can move a little bit this way.
I'm going to, yeah. Oh, I'm going to.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do you want to pull the mic?
Typically, there's nobody at the meeting, so, you know.
what I was saying is really it's just make sense of agreement with everybody else. Hi, I'm Bob Kimball. I'm an outgoing commissioner. So really, when this decision is made, I won't be in the board anymore. So keep the cards and letters coming. But I, you know, from the standpoint of thanks.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So here's what I'd like to say about it. I would suggest that as good neighbors, we would want to buffer anything we potentially do. As we look at sites, you know, one of the criteria that I think the board will want to establish is how few residents will could it potentially affect. And in doing so, I think we could potentially do the dog park. The challenge we have now is, as we all know, is what's the right location for it. And I don't come tonight with a clear-cut view of what it should be. But having read all the materials provided and all the emails provided by citizens, there's a clear-cut interest in it. I think it's something we really need to examine carefully. I'm not saying that to hedge it politically, but just from the standpoint of my inclination would be to do it, but make sure that we do it in a place that makes the most sense for one, the residents, two, the dogs, because they're the ones who are going to be in the park, three, the owners of the dogs, and four, future generations, and how it has an impact on where they live and how they feel about the community. And that's pretty much the way I would set a criteria on anything we do, minus the dogs for the most part. But on any other project we go at, we consider, those are the things that I always take into consideration. Does somebody else want to speak?
Okay, so what?
I could say
okay. In regards to the criteria?
Yes.
So, okay,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, many of these criteria were recommended by a group called the Trust for Public Land. They've done several big national studies on this item. And I'd say, I guess, maybe 6 out of the 8 recommendations are from the Trust for Public Lands.
And NRPA.
The other, and our own staff, too.
And
the,
NRPA.
And National Park and Recreation Association in conjunction with the Trust for Public Land. The other thing I wanted to mention is this may not be an exhaustive list, but it's an excellent starting point for us to sort of talk about this stuff. Let's see, one other thing. Oh, buffers. Buffers come in many forms. Sometimes a setback is considered a buffer. There are also physical buffers. There's landscaping buffers, sound buffers, a lot of different ways to attack the buffer issue. But whatever happens, I'm very much supportive of a strong buffer between residential and the active use.
Do you want to say anything?
I'm just going to, just quickly.
Okay.
This is a committee meeting. Committee meetings are typically working meetings. That's why we have this particular setup and so forth. So, anyway, so I'm Lisa Brooks, and I'm chair of the committee. It's Committee of the Whole, and I'm the president of the Board of Commissioners. And so, Lisa, to your question, it sounds like we have consensus that we cannot determine specifically what that barrier would be, but that we all expect, should a site be chosen, that's a criteria that has to be looked at very closely. Can we create a barrier that is sufficient?
Okay, that sounds good. That's good direction.
Lisa, is the second bullet wrong because we want availability of parking? Was that supposed to say?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So do we want to make sure that we have close by parking?
Right.
And yes, and would street parking be okay, or does it have to be a parking lot?
Well, in the case of, again, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder, Lisa. Mm-hmm. If we were talking about street parking near the metro station, for instance, that's effectively a parking lot.
Yeah.
But that would be very different than parking on Green Bay Road in, you know, in the high traffic zone.
Yeah. Couldn't park on Green Bay Road, but like a side street or something, they allow parking.
Okay. Yeah, like if the location we choose is by residential parking, that's a very narrow street, obviously that's not going to be okay.
Okay. That's good feedback. Do we want to avoid locations near children's play areas, so playgrounds? unless there's a buffer.
That's really dictated by the criteria that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one of the criteria.
For example...
Well, there might be insurance purposes, too.
No, not
so much, but...
Because it's fenced in. It's, for example, the one playground we have that's possible site may be Shelton Park. That there's a lot of open land there, but there's a playground there also. So you could say we could have there, but there has to be a buffer of some sort of distance.
But they would enter and exit
and
separately would,
yeah,
from the kids.
Exactly, how it's designed would have to be on the other end so that they're not. Yeah. But there's some benefits to have that because then you can have children playing in the playground and have dogs playing in the if you have both. Okay.
That site is a good example of a place where I think that would work.
So buffer.
Obviously, a community park.
Like Friends Park would not work. So, okay.
I think that's some of these issues are intertwined, Lisa. So,
they are,
so,
without a doubt.
Other things being equal, I don't, as long as it's fenced in, right, and we continue to have leash laws in the parks until you're in the dog park.
Exactly.
I'm not sure that it really is that crucial that it avoid children's play areas. However, I happen to drive by South School at let out time today, and I thought, well, that would be a disaster. It's
yes.
Already mayhem over there.
Yes, you're right. Exactly. Right?
And so it was not so much that it was near children's play areas or near children, it was just that it's already mayhem.
A lot, there's too much traffic riding
right.
That, and that's another criteria, is that programmed a lot anywhere, a site near a school is really high traffic area. Okay. Why choose parks spots where there are minimal impacts on visual character of the park? For example, Cauk Park has the gazebo in it. Lakefront Park has a lot of old oak trees, and it's a picnic setting. That's a visual aspect of the park, so we want to look at that, correct? Okay.
Right.
All right. Any other criteria that you have in mind that you want to kind of keep in mind when we're looking at the sites coming up? And when you're looking at it, it might spark something, so.
Well, I think it comes down to balancing.
You
as we said, the other uses of the park. For example, there are a lot of the facilities where theoretically there could be the dog park there, but at the same time we're using it currently for all different kinds of practices, for different camps taking advantage of those facilities. Something like Lakefront Park, where we have a big 4th of July event, you know, causes a certain amount of concern.
Who are you talking to?
So he's talking to our
talking
committee.
To the members of the committee.
This isn't, I'm sorry, this it's not a community meeting like the last one. This is what we call our committee meetings, where the board is discussing, and at the end of the meeting.
Oh, because I couldn't get anything, a roar above a mumble.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So we're going to.
Well, just work on that, Bobby.
I am so sorry. Thanks, I appreciate that. What I was saying was simply that we have to balance each park off of how it's currently being used and what the impact is on doing something else in it. And it may be that we want to move some activity from one park to make it work for a dog park, but we're nowhere near making that kind of decision. Yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is what we're figuring out tonight is what are the most likely choices to look at. You're not going to hear us come, I don't think, to any sort of conclusion as to which park we're going to do, what we would recommend. And I think there are several more steps before there's even any vote taking place. So you're really hearing our thoughts as we've been reviewing the information, the emails that residents have provided to us, the looks at the park, articles that have been provided to us about what works best for dog parks, the size of the parks. And in my own mind, for example, I look at it and think anything less than an acre probably isn't going to work, and I think an acre is small. So, and that really is just coming from a standpoint of what experts suggest that we've read. But again, it's part of a long process that you're all going to be a part of throughout every step of the way, because we're not going to do something without everybody realizing it and sort of the consensus of the community being formed, you know, and then ultimately the board, elected board members will vote on what they think is best.
Good. Okay. So far, this is when we go through some of these park sites, I want you to keep some of these things in mind, okay? So we're okay with it if the property lines touch a residence as long as there's a big enough buffer and what that buffer is will be determined how much it is depending on the site. There should be close by parking, so we realize that people may not necessarily walk their dogs to the dog park, right? That people will drive, even though Glencoe's kind of a tight area, they'll still probably drive, so we have to have some kind of parking, but we not necessarily don't have to put in a parking lot because that would obviously make the expense go up, okay? We don't necessarily have to avoid children's play areas if that site works. We just have to make sure the entrance and exit for that dog park is away from the children's play area. We want to be aware of the visual character of parks. We want to look at the activities that are happening in that park now and how that would impact the future. And we want to avoid areas that are already congested, whether they be school pickup and drop off and things like that. Did that capture everybody's idea? Okay, good.
Okay. Lisa, if I think Bob hit on a important point, which is what's the existing use?
Okay.
And you, with the staff, have essentially already eliminated a lot of parks, saying, hey, there's already play fields there.
Yeah.
Just to use one term. I'm not prejudging the answer, but you know, one could imagine that if we had, I don't know, cricket fields or something in Glencoe, with that not being a particularly popular sport here, we might say that's not a good use of space. We could use that better.
Okay. That's good.
However, I confess to be troubled with how to make those trade-offs. Because I am quite sure that as soon as we say we've decided to use XYZ playfield for a dog park, we'll start getting hate mail from all the people that use it for that, for playing cricket or whatever the
sport
activity is.
Okay, but it's a good thing to look at, so, okay. I gave all the committee members this little sheet so you can take notes. These will be the slides coming up. It's all in front of you, so if you'd like to. Can everybody hear me? I'm pretty loud. Okay. No, you can't?
No.
All right, I'm going to get up then. All right. Okay, the next one is, so far, these are the sites that we are eliminating. So we eliminated based on use. And if the board disagrees with any of these, please tell me and then we'll put them back into consideration. So take a park. That's the field behind here. That's eliminated due to athletic fields. It's our only lit athletic field, and it's used for baseball, softball, soccer, and our camp programs and our preschool programs. And it also has walking path, and it's our parks operations center. There possibly is area behind the berm for a dog run, but that would be like less than a quarter of an acre. It would just literally be a dog run, and we'd have to do a lot of water mitigation for that. Friends Park is eliminated due to a playground that takes up the whole area. Berlin Park is eliminated due to athletic fields. We have baseball, soccer, school use in that area, so that's eliminated. Woodlawn Park is eliminated due to the new playground that takes up the whole park. That was just put in, opened up. Old Elm Park, and that's the neighborhood right over here, has been eliminated to the playground taking up the whole area. West Park, that has been eliminated due to the playground and athletic fields. There's a big playground, there's a nature play area, there's two baseball fields, and they also play soccer there. And the school uses it for recess. Watt Athletic Fields, and notice I said athletic fields, there's the possibility on when we show slides on the other side of the park, but there's a baseball field right across in that area, tennis court, baseball field, and then across the way where Watt's ice rink is, that's a soccer field. So those are eliminated. Glencoe Beach, in season, is eliminated due to the operation of the beach. Cock Park, that's eliminated due to gazebo special event space. Veterans Memorial Park, eliminated due to special use. Obviously, that's our Veterans Memorial. Vernon Playground, that's eliminated due to the playground being there now. And then the Everly Wildflower Sanctuary is eliminated due to active naturalized area. Everybody agree with those? Okay, you guys can weigh in at that. Hold that thought. You need to, 10? Okay. All right.
Do you have do your staff have a sense of any of these parks that are underutilized in their current intended use?
No. Did you do that?
I
just need to go. Yeah. No. Stay there. Do you guys think there's anything that's underutilized? I think they're all utilized heavily.
Right.
Okay. So then we're going to start going down the row of parks that we'll look at. And on your little piece of paper, and I'll read this out loud too for everybody here. We kind of tried to summarize these areas. So our unique names in Glencoe are kind of funny. These haven't been officially named, so they're just numbers. So this one is called Park 7N and 8N. It is on, and Crystal helped me on this, it's on the intersection of Old Green Bay and
Maple Hill.
It's a triangle property. Right next, one side abuts to the Green Bay Trail. There is no direct abutting to residents. There's road barriers between the houses, and I think there's only 3 to 4 single-family houses on the other side. If you include Park 7N and 8N, which goes behind the property a little bit, there's 1.7 acres. If you just do the triangle part, I think it's about an acre in this site.
Are we looking northwest in this photo?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Northeast.
And Lisa, just to clarify that,
you're
looking northeast.
Yeah. That's the lake to the right.
So the trail would just be to the left
of the
lake.
You're just kind of coming off of the trail.
Right, so the trail's like right here.
Yeah. So we're looking.
And the crossing's like right here.
You're looking northeast.
Northeast.
Yeah.
So Maple Hill's running northeast.
So this is Maple Hill right here.
Yeah. So Lisa, clarify that land.
So that's Maple Hill right in front of us.
All right, we own all the land up until that tree line, and then like this area right here is owned by the village. That they have a easement all along the trail, so we'd go up to that that tree line right there, and it's just property right there.
Just to make sure we're all oriented, the Green Bay Trail is right behind that line of trees on the left side.
Right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to visualize pictures, it really is, but. So there's parking available both at takeoff and along Old Green Bay Road. It's a little bit of a walk. This is the start of the new trailhead for the Connect Glencoe pathway.
And the potential for even more parking.
Yes.
Could you step to
Sure. Thank you. Any questions on this side?
Lisa, I was going to say there's potential for even more parking along the inner Green Bay Route Trail.
Yeah, we have not formalized agreement, so I can't say that. There's nothing, no discussion, formal discussion on that. So we would have to pay for that parking, but yes, we had money to put parking. I guess there was parking. We have to work out a deal with the village. So,
inner Green Bay.
Okay, any other questions on this site?
Are you just showing to
us? Showing them. Yeah, take notes on your little piece of paper. This starts the Old Green Bay Linear Park. As you know, the board just approved Connect Glencoe Trails to all these parks. Thought I would show them, but they have just recently been activated with that trail and activity pods and playgrounds and things like this. But these are all the Green Bay parks. So this one, everybody knows here, these are all the series of parks down Old Green Bay Road, crossing the railroad track. The parks are between 1.3 to 1.9 acres. They back up to residents. In some areas, it's very close. Across the street from the train line and train station. I just looked at one parcel, includes the breakwater sculpture. Do you know that? Their official names are 6N, Lincoln Crescent, 2N, unofficial Sunken Park and Veterans. So these are those trails right now. These pictures look great. Aaron took these. Beautiful. Again, these have all just been activated. This is Sunken Park. The trail on this one is going to go right through here, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
Is Sunken Park wet a lot of the time?
Yes. Yes, it was designed to hold water and storm for stormwater management. So there'd be a lot of drainage to go in there.
Lisa, is that the largest open area along?
Yes, this is the largest one.
Currently, although a trail is going.
A trail is going through it. The trail, I think, right now is designed to hug the sidewalk, but yes,
this is the largest.
It won't go down into that. Okay.
Right. Because of the water issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sculpture Park. Okay, so that was the end of the Green Bay Trail ones. This is Milton Park. This is on Dundee and
Grove.
Yep.
Grove. Thank you. This is a small. Well, it's not like it's 1.6 acres if you include the whole thing. It currently has an old play structure, an older path, and very wooded lots. Backs up the houses on one side and Dundee Road on the other. Street parking only, and there's no utilities, which means there's no water source there right now. There's no electricity. There's nothing like that. We have to bring that into the site. So this is hard to see the picture, but I believe, and Chris can help me here, right here is the wood structure right here.
Yeah.
This is the start of the park, and this is the pathway that starts. So this is, if you would have to use all this space here, would directly abut up to this house.
It's also a water issue.
And there's also a water issue. So pretty much every site we're going to show you would have to be improved with drainage, because as you know, a lot of our untouched green space was actually designed to hold water during storm management. We want the water to drain actually through our soil to filter out instead of sending it right to the storm water. And because what happens with that is that all that water also carries all the chemicals out to the lake. So this is actually a sustainable way to handle water throughout Glen Hill. So a lot of our parks are designed to hold water during big rainstorms like last week. All the parks were flooded and now they're slowly draining the water out. So any questions about Milton? Okay. This is 13F3. This one is part of the, let me find this one. Oh, Vernon Greenway Park. So these are the parks along Vernon, across from Watts Park. So these parcels are between 0.61 acres to 1.24 acres. Houses on one side, and the other side, the road is either houses or Watts Park. There's street parking. There's no drinking fountains in these parks, so there's no water utilities. So these are just a series of all of these burning greenways. So this is an option. This is another one. As you can see, they all back up to houses. It's just an extremely wooded lot. Another one. 14S2.
Lisa,
yes.
Are trees in the park a problem for using it as a dog park?
I guess it depends on who you are. Some people think they're great. Dogs like to weave, like to run. If it's heavily wooded, that's probably not a good idea. But you don't have to have a completely green open space necessarily. You can even have hills in it. I saw one this weekend that had a big mound in it, and dogs were having a great time on it. So
the dogs wouldn't kill the big oak trees like that?
Chris?
I don't believe so. I mean, we have to mitigate with construction what material we use, but I don't think the dogs would be an issue.
All right, so this is Watts, and it's from two different angles. One is right, this first one, I believe, is right across the street, like if you're looking from the Watts Ice Center into the park. You'd have the sled hill over here, tennis courts would be over here, baseball field would be over there, right, Chris? And then this is a big open area. And then you go to Vernon, on the other side, this is looking from Vernon in, I believe, and this is the other side, so this would be this end of it.
That's a disc golf.
So there is disc golf in here. So you're talking about what we would have to relocate. If we put in this site, we wouldn't have to relocate the disc golf. You potentially could relocate the disc golf across the street on the Vernon Greenway. That's a possibility. to do that, but then when they're playing disc golf, they get across the street.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Watts. Shelton Park is another, this is the site of Shelton Park. Let's see if we can find the runway to it. This is right when you're entering the park, I believe, right? And then, yeah, this is where the new plantings were, the Sosa planting. I believe the tennis court's up here. So that's that there's a triangle right there. Let's see if I have those facts for you. Shelton Park is about, we're not sure of the acres, it depends how you kind of divide it out. The community garden is in that area. There's houses directly bordering the park in some areas. Some of the areas, the houses are across the street. The site does have access to utilities and a parking lot, and there's some existing drainage on the site. So this would be like the entrance when you're entering to go into the playground, which is right over here, right, Chris? And then this is also, so what we're looking at is the site, I guess, south of the playground that borders, what's the street right here, Chris?
Harbor
right here.
Yeah.
So this would be coming off Harbor and going up to the playground this side, and you could potentially do a buffer between the houses here because there's enough area. Not the best. Mm-hmm. A lot of these have to, when we narrow down the sites, go out, walk it, and see it.
Lisa, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is the community garden, is that on village property?
That's village property.
That's
correct.
Village property.
Yes.
And property to the south of that, that's open where they store the snow and stuff, is that village property?
That's still village property, right?
That's village property.
Yes.
Okay.
So are you talking about two different sites here or one? I was confused.
This one's right here is not really connected to the rest of the park. This is when you come in from the, you're coming in from the north.
By the tennis courts.
Tennis courts are right here.
So the bottom we're talking about.
This is Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the, by Sosa.
Okay.
What?
South Avenue.
All right, this is the park 21F2 and 22. We kind of call this the Linden House. This is the current, this is the house owned by the Park District currently. And then there's, let's see how many acres we have here. 2.7 acres, because this property starts here at a big lot and goes all the way behind all these houses down to that street. So it's actually 2.7 acres on a corner lot next to the Park District House, across the street from the Wildflower Sanctuary. Schools down the street, so South School's down the street. Two houses across the street, and houses back up the property along Green Bay Road. We have access to water and parking across the street. But again, there is drop off and pick up for schools that happen all down Linden. So it's a very congested site, but this is
challenging on a good day for school.
On school days when they're picking up and dropping off. Other than that, it's not, but when they're picking up and dropping off, it's challenging. So probably half hour before school drop off time and half hour before school pickup time, it's really crowded for about an hour. Okay, so that's that property. This is 21S2. Okay, this is just down the road.
That's looking west of Green Bay Road.
Oh, this is the same park. This is part of Linden also at the end, right? So this is the end part of the Linden house property.
All part of the same animal.
Yeah, that's the end, so you can't really live in the house like that. We're down here. And this is the farthest point of the Linden House part of the property. So you can see it's a long string. Okay, this is Green Bay Road in South Avenue Park. It's 1.7 acres, adjacent to two single family homes. There's also a single multi-family residence across the street, on-street parking, and no utilities.
So this one has drainage issues also, but
That's the one that floods it.
Yeah. This is Part 4F. This is about 1.2 acres with adjacent residents. Existing park is on a hill for this one.
It's pretty tight. Sorry, can you describe where that one is?
It's across from Sosa. It's on the opposite side of Old Green Bay Road. I think we call it Hilltop Park in house.
So Old Green,
South Avenue.
Across from Sosa. Okay. It's east of Old Green Bay.
Correct.
This is Lakefront Park. Obviously, this is the space that we use. I'm not quite sure about the acreage. We have existing tennis courts, playground, walking path, picnic row, heavily used in the summer, bordered by residents. There's existing parking, utilities, and drainage. But improvements would have to be made for drainage. This is a high-level passive use park all year round, but especially in the summer, there would be parking would be really restricted, obviously, because of the beach use and the picnic use throughout the summer. This is 19F. It's off of Green Bay Road. It's 1.1 acres. It's situated between a multifamily building and a single-family housing. There's no parking and there's no water. So a lot of this would be eaten up by parking. It's right off of Green Bay. You can't park in Green Bay. Yeah. Okay, this is 18S2. This is 0.56 acres off of Green Bay Road. No parking. So it's not by a side street. It's in between condos and single family houses. I just put the tennis courts up because if you're ever at Watts Park in the morning on Saturday and Sundays, residents are using the tennis courts now as dog parks. So I threw up our tennis courts because people are already using it. The problem with that is that the surface is not penetrable, so it's impervial. I can't say the word. That urine's not going anyplace. So what we would have to do is we would have to figure out something how to wash that off every night that's not really labor intensive. So we set up a sprinkler system where it goes off every night so it cleans it. But that is a site that's already fenced in. You know, people are using it already, but there is obviously limitations to that. So we do have a lot of tennis courts in town, but I think double the national average. Not saying that, I'm just telling you what it's being used for already. We see it every Saturday and Sunday and during the week. So threw that up there. Green Bay Road Park, they call this the Triangle Park. It's under 5 acres. It's along Green Bay Road. It's surrounded by homes with homes across the streets.
So this is diagonal from South School.
Right. Yes, yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And it also gets really wet.
Yes. And then Park 3S. This is a small parcel with homes directly above it. South and Old Green Bay Road.
The right side of that gets really wet.
Yeah, that one really is wet too. It's small. I mean, okay, so those are all the possible sites that the park district owns that are, I think I picked a half acre and above. So we're now, after doing all the possible sites, is there a conclusion that there's no simple site, or is there a continued discussion?
What popped out on this for you guys? What seemed like...
You grab the microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that had...
few enough cons that it should be, that it's still possible to consider.
I'm sorry, can you hear me, sir? Thank you. When I went through the list, and actually I'd been thinking about this earlier, there were three sites that I marked down as yes, worthy of looking at more. Two I'm not sure about, so I'd probably say yes. And the rest I simply said no. Various reasons. There's an awful lot of activity, for example, at Shelton Park. So adding an activity, and there's not an awful lot of street parking, it seems to me that would be a very challenging park to do it in. And we're also abutting an awful lot of homes that we'd have to create a buffer for in some way. But when I was looking at it, and this is just my first run through it, the first option, which was Park 7N and 8N, I think we need to look. Parking is questionable. But the option is that there's an awful lot of space there and we're not affecting as many residences. And also, I think it's an easy place to walk to. The old Green Bay Linear Parks, I put a sort of question mark on. I think the most logical choice is Sunken. I do know some of the issues that we might have with Sunken, but I think it's certainly worth pursuing from a standpoint of whether it is something that can make sense. Milton Park, I gave a no to. The Vernon Greenway Parks, I gave a no to, partly because I think they're just simply too small and we're trying to do other things there anyway. I think Sunken, because we're only using a small portion as part of the trail project, we could actually get away with doing something, and that would be the reason that it would make sense to take a look at it. Watts Park, I put a question mark on. I think we would have to consider doing something where there is the Frisbee Golf. Then we have to find another location for Frisbee Golf. It's a little far enough away from Bronco Field that it shouldn't have any direct impact on the field. And it wouldn't even, and it's also a fairly nice long space. Parking is challenging when there's baseball games and events at Watts with soccer, etc. But there's going to be challenging parking at pretty much any place we look. I think that at least is worth looking at. I said Shelton Park, probably know that 221S2 and 22S2 parks. I wrote yes. The challenge is parking. The challenge is obviously the school. The challenge is a few houses there, including one we're trying to sell or planning on selling. But at the same time, it's an enormous piece of land. Now, how aesthetically the community reacts to a lot of fencing on Green Bay Road, I don't know. But I think it's certainly worth taking an added look at. Green Bay and South Park was the other place where I had a question mark. It's a fairly large piece of land. There isn't a lot of parking. It would have to be street parking, which isn't totally effective because that does get a fair amount of traffic. And I'd be a little concerned about that. But it does create a buffer for all except for, I think, one house that would be directly affected by it. But Lakefront Park, I wrote, no, I think there's just simply too much use in the summer and all year round to consider blocking off some of that. And plus, parking is horrible. That's a neighborhood that gets, a tremendous amount of activity throughout the year, which they're sensitive to and understandably. And so I don't know that it makes any sense to throw in something else there. 19S, the 1.1 acre off of Green Bay Road, it's too hard for people to get to. They'd have to park three streets down and walk their dogs down to get there, and then it's going to have an impact on side street parking. The tennis courts, I've said no, because I think, again, there's other things going on in that area that would have an impact. The Green Bay Road Triangle, I just don't think is big enough, and the same thing with the 3S Park. I would actually love that to be a spot we consider. But I think if we're going to do a dog park, we want to do something we can be proud of and not just put something in so we can say, okay, we've got a dog park. And that's my quick summation, which could change tomorrow, but it's the way I sort of saw it.
The only two that I wrote no next to were Milton and Lakefront Park. I do think there's potential at Shelton, so I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think there's potential there. What was my other? And the rest of them, I mean, really, we'd have to talk through. For the tennis courts, I think I'm not opposed to that. I think that's more of an issue of, is that what residents are looking for? So that would be a discussion to have and to hear feedback on. But I'm not automatically just opposed to that idea.
I think I was a little more critical than Stephanie was, and a little more, I guess I would end up being closer to the sort of options that Bob suggested. My, so just quickly going through it, Park 7N and 8N, it seems to me there's very little parking there. I can't believe the residents across the street wouldn't raise holy hell that we're putting up a chain link fence right out their front door. I could see potentially some of the old Green Bay linear parks with an appropriate buffer. Milton Park is just wooded, and I would hate to cut the trees down. I think most of the Vernon Greenway parks, this would majorly change the character of the major thoroughfare through town, so I would not support that. One idea that I had, which I don't know how feasible it is, but if we were able to put something between in Watts Park between the current sledding hill and the tennis courts, that would seem to have parking and be away from the residences. So obviously there is a trail through there now that goes from Watts, the skating rink, to the baseball field, but that did seem to be kind of an aha or intriguing moment to me.
So Josh, next to the, west of the sledding hill.
No, because that's adjacent to residences. I would have in mind north of the sledding hill and south of the tennis courts.
And east of the baseball field.
Correct.
Got it.
Shelton Park is big. I'll say that about it. I do think that there's probably less parking there than people think. And I know that most of that southern portion is under 2 inches of water every time it rains. The Linden House Park, first of all, I'm not sure I like the idea of fencing on Green Bay Road. Second, it's extremely busy on all the, what's the opposite of an arterial street? All the non-arterial streets right near there are mayhem around South School pickup and drop-off, and there's also a lot of teacher parking around there. I just think it would be very challenging to solve those parking issues. Green Bay and South Avenue Park, it's pretty interesting because it's large. However, we just have to make sure there's enough street parking there and that we could avoid the really wet areas. I think most of the rest of the ones on here, I'll just shortcut and say they're either too busy or too small.
Okay.
There's an advantage to going later. I'm just going to call out the ones that I think deserve additional investigation. I do want to say that this is the first cut, and there's a lot more information that we'll be able to receive, not only from the neighbors, but as we get into the property. properties, the conditions of the soils and accessibility to infrastructure as we look at this. I do see Park 7N, 8N as being a possibility, taking a look at that. I don't know if there's any village right-of-way through there or not that we could also use adjacent to the trail. I'd hate to take down the tree line, but I don't know where those boundaries are at this point, but that might be an opportunity to add a little bit of space to that area. It seems to be pretty isolated. The Green Bay Linear Parks, it's a tough one. I have a big question mark next to that one. I don't think it hurt to take a look at maybe one of the larger areas along the Green Bay Linear Parks, but if we were to do something there, we would need to put a lot of effort into proper buffering. Watts Park has presented itself with a couple potential options. One, of course, where the disc golf is. The other would be, was just brought up here recently, near the sledding hill. Both deserve a good look. Shelton Park is another one. It is one of the larger parks in the community. I'm not quite sure who owns the land south of Community Garden, where the village sometimes stores extra materials, bales of hay. Sometimes they store snow in there or whatever. But I think it'd be certainly worthwhile talking to the village if that would be available. That's a very isolated parcel in there. And it's pretty centrally located. And then the other one to take a good close look at is the park near the Park District House. What's that? 215-225 Park.
2-1-S-2.
Okay, 2-1-5-2. Anyway, it'd be good to take a good hard look at that property. Again, this isn't the end, it's the beginning, but I think we do need to narrow the choices down.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to help that very much. Because, you know, I think that if this was a high school debate, I could be on either side for any one of these, you know, like pro and con, except for Lakefront Park. I think that just is clearly far too heavily used in the summer and way too much traffic. I like centrally located and isolated because the issue that arises with every one of these is there are going to be neighbors impacted, and they are not going to be supportive, my guess is. And even though it doesn't have to be chain link fence, it can be something more attractive. You know, it's something very different that you'd see when you looked out the window, and people tend to want to own what they see out the window, and so that's a hurdle we have to get over. So I've taken notes on what everybody said, and I'd like, Lisa, if you could, talk about the process that we're going to go through now.
Sure.
Because I think people might be under the impression we've got to come up with something now or ourselves, and that's not how this is going to work. So thanks.
Okay, so from what I can tell, the board has said there's some possible sites, but they need a lot more investigation, okay? So what I would like to see is that if the board would narrow down to 5 or less sites, and you gave me some slight site selection criteria that we can explore further to see if these sites work in with any of those. What I would recommend, and I've seen in all the research I've done, and Barbara Heller said this during the community meeting, is that they highly recommend that when you're doing a dog park, just do a community task force to investigate sites. So you narrow it down to the ones that you guys don't want to vote on or to say no. You say, here's 5 possible sites.
do the investigation, check out the, you know, talk to the neighbors, look at the size, how much would it be to convert this into a dog park, and then bring those recommendations back to the board. It would just be a task force that has no voting power. The board would still vote on any site after listening to the task force's recommendations. And then any sites that are being really seriously considered, then really make sure that neighbors have a chance to weigh in on that also. So that's what I would recommend the process. It's obviously up to the board to decide what process they would like to do. But that's what I would do. What I would recommend is doing the same thing that we do for the Lakefront Advisory Committee and the Watts Advisory Committee. Is I would put out an application. It would go to everybody whose name's on our email, and that's where a lot of these people are coming from, and also put it out in our community website and email blast to see if anybody else has. Have people apply. We'll take all the applications and choose 10 people. I think it makes it too cumbersome, but also we have a committee of 50. So based on the criteria, the board will pick 10 people to serve on this task force. It would be a short end. You know, it would be 3 months. We would set a deadline for it so it doesn't drag on forever. And then bring those recommendations back. Okay, so that's what I would recommend. Some things to keep in mind, though. Let's go over the overview of the whole process. So determine there's people want a dog park. We just don't know if we have a place to do it, right? We have to discuss a possible site, but there's also other things that we have to talk about is how are we going to pay for a dog park once we get it? So is this going to be a donor-funded item? This is not in our capital project plan for the next 3 years, so where is that funding going to come from? So is that something you also want the task force to look at? Do you think this is a potential to find donors for this particular amenity, or is it something if we think it should be a taxpayer-funded item, are you willing to give up another existing parcel in our park? So, example, if we put a dog park in, are you okay if when Milton is no longer useful that we don't replace that one? Because we don't have the money just to keep on adding without taking something away. So, something to think about. And then we just have to talk about the operational side of it. Is it user fees versus a subsidized amenity, you know, things like that. And I think the task force, once they become of the site, then they would move, if the site was chosen, then that committee would then move to design development. So we really won't be just talking about exactly how this dog park will be made or what's going to be made of, just if the site will work. Does that make sense? How does that sound to you?
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. So that's what we want to go with? Okay, so we're going to form a task force to look at, do we want to decide those 5 sites tonight that we want to have the task force further evaluate, or do you want to think about it for a while?
Did you notice consensus?
Did a little bit. I know you did a really good job. So
I think so. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
It's the first one we can...
Park
move from consideration.
How about Park 7N and 8N?
Yeah, that was
3.
3. 3 7 said yes for that, too.
So Park 7N and 8N was one of them.
Potential for the Old Green.
Potential for the sunken park in Old Green Bay Linear Park was one, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Milton
maybe
was.
Watts
Park was the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3. Shelton Park.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was a 4th. And was it Linden?
It's kind of Linden.
Probably Linden.
And then Linden and South are kind of.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it's 6.
Maybe it's 6.
So maybe it's 6.
That's fine.
Okay, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. Just distinguish between those last two choices just quickly.
Oh, so one's Linden House. That's where the purchase property is
Yep.
from South and South.
And then 3S.
3S.
No. Green Bay and South.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Green Bay and South.
Avoid the red areas. And that was too busy.
The whole wedding.
Bob said maybe Josh said.
Was it this one?
It's a big one.
Dudley said no comment, and Lisa didn't have a comment.
So this one's Green Bay, is this the one you're talking about? We only had two people say they wanted this one, maybe.
Just Bob and Josh.
Just Bob and Josh. So that's Green Bay and South Avenue Park. It's one that holds a lot of water. We definitely have to do drainage on this, but it's a bigger parcel.
And, you know, I have no objection to that one.
Okay. So keep that on the list, too.
That's good.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Yeah. 7 and 8 and Sunday.
You have this? Okay.
Trucking Park.
Okay, what I'll do is then I'll develop the application and we'll get it out to everybody that's on our email list and then put a deadline, what today is the 9th, maybe by the end of the month, if everybody wants to be on that task force, fill out that application.
Okay.
And then at the June committee meeting, decide who's going to be on that task force and then move forward.
And there. Criteria, there will be a board rep, a staff rep, and
yes.
And we were trying to get something of a balance on the
yes.
task force so that we need to get
pros and cons.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to propose adding the tennis court idea only because of the prior session we're going to have on funding, which will be an issue, and that will be a cheaper option. So can we let the task force discuss that?
Can we just couple it with the walks
sure.
as sort of
yeah.
like a
walks,
you know,
secure on.
Yeah. Just sort of
yeah,
like couple those two.
Thanks
yeah.
for that.
Lisa, I'd recommend you include some residents around some of these
those houses.
Properties.
We'll send a letter to them saying that we're forming this task force. Yeah, I think it's important to have the pros and the cons for healthy discussion.
Right.
And that would be up to the board, the committee to decide who's going to be on that. So we'll try to get as many pros and cons. And it's not going to be everybody that applies because that would be too large a group.
Right.
And just end up.
I just think if you. We have a task force, and nobody that lives around any of these parks is involved.
True. I totally agree with you.
It'll collapse on at the next step.
That is
yeah,
a very good
right.
point, and I'll make
yeah.
sure we send letters to those neighbors. Okay.
Okay. So, Lisa, if you're okay.
Wait.
Just this could be what you're waiting for. So, if we could move on. Okay.
You can.
Okay. So, at this time, it's matters from the public. And we invite those in attendance to speak, but we always try to keep the comments to 3 minutes at the most so that we can allow everybody to have a chance to speak. So I'm going to try to monitor that. And who would like to go first? Okay, I saw you first, so I'll let you go first. If you could just state your name.
Yeah, grab the microphone.
Okay.
Just give us a second.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Testing.
Hello. First of all, my name is Jim Borowski. I've lived in Glenville 51 years. I want to thank the commissioners for their service to our community, first and foremost. What you do is very much appreciated. Two comments. First, I wonder if anyone knows how many dogs we have registered in the village?
I do not have that number off.
Okay, it should be an easy number to get.
Yeah, I'm sure.
My guess is it's a pretty high one.
I'm sorry, but not to know that.
Well, I'm not in charge of that, so.
No, my point is, I think it's a large number.
Yeah.
There are lots of residents in this community that own dogs. They all didn't show up or respond to the initial inquiry. So I think this is a matter that many dog owners care about a lot. I care about the park district. I care about what you do. But I define myself as sort of a single issue person and single issue voter and resident. I care much more about this issue than do anything else that is in your purview. And it's not to say I don't care about what else is in your purview. But I think most dog owners, the reason why there are 30 people here tonight or 50 people here tonight, and there normally are none, is that people care a lot about this issue. So I think it behooves this board to determine just how many people are involved and consider that. There's a lot of land in your control, and I think there's a lot of demand for a dog park somewhere in our little town. So I think your mandate is not to come up with reasons why we shouldn't have a park here, there, or wherever, but your mandate should be, let's figure out a reason where we can put this, because we need to have it. So that's my first point. Secondly, on the question of noise, I'm at somewhat of a loss as to any potential concern by a resident about noise. Many of these sites are well within earshot of these train tracks that run in our village, and the decibel volume from the trains that run all day and all night is pretty loud. Anyone that bought property within earshot of the train sort of has no argument about noise of anything. Secondly, other desirable uses for our parks, baseball fields, soccer fields, create a lot of noise when they're in use. And I don't hear a lot of objections. I imagine you don't hear a lot of objections from residents who are in properties that are adjacent to ball fields about the noise of the cheering and the this and that that goes on during ball games. Those are my comments. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you. And you did it in 3 minutes and 1 second. I am incredibly impressed with that.
You're so generous.
My goodness. Yes. Yes, there. Please.
Here or there?
Well, goodness, maybe there. Wherever you're comfortable.
So I think you can all hear me. So Lisa Sussman, 780 Drury Road. Thank you, Lisa, staff, and board for hosting this special meeting specific to dog parks. So to a couple points that were raised, this process already qualifying as long as validated by a post in the Winnetka Glencoe Patch dated December 18, 2014, the title of which is Consultants Hired by This Park District Recommend Adding Dog Park in Glencoe. A new dog park could highlight the list of improvements coming to the Glencoe Park District. Although the design and construction of the park may be a few, define the word few, years away, the Glencoe News reported the master planning consultants listed the addition as one of a couple items, quote unquote, at the top of the to-do list in enhancing park district offerings. So trusting Lisa, staff, and board will maintain continuity, if not with some dispatch across this project, and please do consider adding it to the capital budget with some consideration for a fee structure as well to mitigate cost. I just want to understand what is the way forward across next steps. So I think what I'm hearing is you're going to issue applications for the committee, make a decision on the 10 people to that committee no later than end of June, after which time they're going to engage a no longer than three-month project and report the results of which by July, August, no later than the end of September. So presumably another meeting, this staff and board, no later than October to vote on the preferred site and move forward accordingly. So correct me if I'm wrong across any of that timeline, please.
Thank you. Outlook, and I really appreciate that. Yeah. I do know that August is a very difficult time for people to get together, and it will, you know, requires if there's just 10 people that they actually show up to the meetings, otherwise this is just not effective. So while that's a goal, it will be decided upon when we get the committee together so they can set their meetings. So, you know, it might be 4 months, I don't know. It could be 2 months, I don't know. We'll see.
Hopefully by the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Lori Gross.
Hi, Lori Gross Tuffman. I'm first one very in favor of the dog park, as Lisa most of course knows. And I was at the last community meeting where the woman spoke with the developer. And I asked her a question, because although I am, and I think most people here are probably in favor of a dog park, I recognize the fact that some people are going to be opposed to it. And I asked her about how successful she is. Do they build barricades? And she was very confident at the time, absolutely, and she wasn't specific. I think my point is that it might be helpful for the future task force, as well as we voting on it, to clarify with her, in anticipation of those people that are going to be against this, what are those barricades? What do they look like? I recognize you can't commit to what you're actually going to build yet, but it might help pacify the concerns of some residents to be able to picture what it is, how successful it is. So that's what I was going to say. And the other thing, I'm jumping way ahead here, not very important at this point, but as somebody who's used the dog park in Highland Park in Clavey, there are zero trees, which I don't think any of these properties would happen. It is, I don't know if any of you have used it, it's miserable. It's, it's, right? It's,
right.
It's inhospitable. My dog didn't even want to play it. And that's saying a lot. So I just, when you're talking about trees, I would encourage, say for the water problem, I mean, I would encourage trees.
Right. And you say that because of shade?
The shade.
I presume.
The shade, it's the lack of protection. There's no air circulation, there's no wind. The sun's beating down on you, even when it's not a hot day. It's inhospitable. And if you took a poll, anyone who's used it, I'm sure you would agree.
Okay. Any? Yes.
I was wondering, do any members of the board live next to or close by any of the proposed sites?
It's gone, Colin.
When you saw the proposed site, do any of you live? No, you do not.
No.
Define near. Yeah. In Glencoe, we all live near everything.
I think the size of the community, I don't know where to be located without inconveniencing a resident. And for me, that's the tipping point. I know some of you probably saw the musical that writers put on in connection with the 150th anniversary of the village. And one line that got knowing laughs was Glencoe, where too much is never enough. This is a bridge too far, I believe, for the village, because it will, without question, inconvenience some residents. And I don't see any excuse for that when we have a dog park that I go to on Clavey. It's $150 a year. It's excellent. There's nothing around it. I bother no one. There's the Winnetka dog park. Have you been to it? It's excellent. Why not take 5 minutes to drive to either place? And by the way, Highland Park has 3 dog parks for $150. Then risk inconveniencing a neighbor. I simply don't get that. And when I just heard you say that none of you live next to a proposed site, you know, that makes me think, not in my backyard. And that's key.
No,
that's key.
There's no
the village of Glencoe is our backyard, and one does not inconvenience neighbors, not to be done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. Yes, yes.
Hi, my name is Alicia Resnikoff. I live at 926 Valley Road, and I want to thank you for considering adding this amenity to our community. I just wanted to add a fact, which is, you know, some dog owners might have felt in the past that there wasn't a super significant need for our own dog park, because essentially there was no leash law was enforced down at the beach during the off season. So you could let your dogs go down to the Glencoe Beach between September and May. They could be off leash and they could swim. But so I was down there recently with my dog because this is the period when you can have dogs down there, and Officer Katie stopped me and said that is no longer the case, that they are now enforcing the leash laws even at the beach. So now there really truly is nowhere in Glencoe where you can have your dog off leash. And although we can drive, that means every dog owner is paying, you know, like I pay $150 for Prairie Wolf, which is really great, but that's an hour and a half commitment to exercise your dog. So if we can do this in a way that is attractive in a space that's already near some sort of infrastructure, like a railroad track or near lots where there's already, you know, other noise-creating activity there, that would be a great amenity for dog owners. So thank you.
Yes, sir. Hi, I'm Steve Salton. I live at 629 Greenwood. And I just wanted to go through a couple of different points. One, we walk dogs together. And I'm confused because the dog park is an amenity to the dog park. I think the majority of folks will think of it as a net positive, and there will be folks that will be that will have some angst about it. And I think it's up to the to us to address it. But change brings difference. Every time there's change, there will be some people that will be disappointed. But if we do it right, the majority of people will enjoy coming forward. So. Thinking about this, I want to reiterate what Jim said, is the mandate of this discussion should be how do we do it, how do we make it work, not how do we look for issues that are creating problems. So in relation to that, physically, the sites, they're all going to have water problems. We live in Glencoe, there's hard packed clay, there's no percolation. That's just going to be part of the construction of the park. Mm-hmm. I was very interested to hear about the village owning the property next to the garden. I talked with Dave Mao about this a couple of times. And the village said that, well, I shouldn't say the village said. David said that the village would be amenable to a conversation. And I think combining a portion of Shelton Park with that train, the land located near the train, is very interesting. And I don't know your name, but the Watts Park, that idea between the hill and the tennis court, changing the route of the trail, and maybe berming. And remember, with berming and with arborvitae, a lot of these things, you can make it so that if it were really objectionable, nobody has to go to dog parks there. I've been in a million dog parks, they're not that loud, they're a lot quieter than the kids. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends on what Lisa says, how we approach this, and what's the budget we're willing to work on, we're willing to grow with this. So I just want to reiterate again, I think Jim's mandate was appropriate. How do we make this work, not how do we look for problems?
I guess I just want to follow up what Mr. Young said. I live on one of the proposed sites, and I feel like noise is going to be a big issue. I'm all for a dog park. If you can find a place where you're not really impacting the peace and comfort that someone feels in their own home. You know, we've lived in Glencoe over 20 years. We've been very active in the community, and you know, we'd like to retire here, but we are not early risers. If you have a dog park open at 7 in the morning, and there's even a potential for dogs to be barking, that is really going to impact what a lot of neighbors may feel like, you know, that they may impact the peace and comfort of their own home. And if we're really thinking about, you know, our neighbors, you know, maybe you can do more investigation about a site that's not abutting people's homes. And yes, we live in Glencoe, and you know, we have to make trade-offs. If a trade-off is made to giving up a playground so that you don't impact neighbors to dog park, maybe that could be looked at again.
Although our playgrounds are all next to neighbors.
Our
playgrounds are.
I don't know if they're all,
but yes. Okay. Anyone? Yes, sir.
There may be a concern about where this park could be located. And one of the things to consider is the amount of noise that I think so many people may be so concerned about. Well, I would say you can't put a dog park and a playground next to each other and say the dog park's going to drown out the playground. So all the people who want to say, it's going to be so terrible because there's going to be so much noise. Well, I got to tell you that we lived in Wilmette for eons, and go to the dog beach in Wilmette, and you can't tell from outside the fence that there's activity in there. So it's really not a noise item that if somebody wants to say, oh, we can't put it there because we're going to offend somebody who's 50 feet away. And the vernacular ain't going to hear squat. So one of the things that I would say is when you're considering locations, say, don't worry about it. Because there's not going to be that many of us there at any one given time that's going to cause any issue. So I'd just like everybody to kind of relax on some of the criteria and as to what you're saying. You say, oh, no, we can't have that because it's close to the railroad tracks and the train's going to drown out, whatever. So just relax about what we're looking for, and don't be hypocritical.
Okay, thank you. Who else would like to share? Yes, I do.
I was super very encouraged by how sites are possible. I didn't think there would be that many that homes that seem like there's a possibility that it would work. So having to investigate five or six, I think, is a very encouraging step in this process.
Thank you. Agreed. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You've got a dog sweatshirt there. I like that.
I'm sorry, I have stage fright, so but I have to do it. Hello, my name is Shalina Dabney. I live on 470 Vernon Avenue. I live right by the Watts Center one. So I understand both sides of we shouldn't have one and we shouldn't have one. I'm thinking about this logically where it's a pro and con to the whole situation where I actually can see there is one, should be there because I know what it's like to be living right by Watts Center with all the children, with all the baseball, all the noise. I know how it is to live there. And I work with animals for over 10 years now. I live in Glencoe for almost 20 now. Third generation of my family live in this town, of this community. And what he said earlier about how we should go out, I sadly cannot have that luxury to go to other parks to take my dog there. Sadly, this is my first dog. I worked with many adults all my life, this is my first dog. And I wish I could take her to the other parks, the Highland parks and all that stuff. Sadly, I do not have a car. I have worked and know many of my customers / neighbors for many years who have dogs. Some of them, they don't have cars either, and so most of them do. From all the way from Watts Center all the way to almost close to the beach are the people I know who have dogs who actually want, sadly they're not here, but well, most of them are here, but they do want the park. The problem is, reason why I quite find this disturbing is, why haven't we had a park yet? Even before I had my dog for 6 years now, past 10 years, I was quite astonished why doesn't this community does not have a park, which quite so, I'm quite concerned about that. And I've actually met one of my neighbors who lived here for over 35 years. She actually made a petition out for this community to have a dog park. Hundreds of people signed it, sent it in, they brushed around and said no. Even though a good more than 80% of this community wanted a dog park. What I'm saying is we should have one because there's some people who can't access to want to go to other people's communities to have one. Some people actually said, why should I go to another person's community? Why should I go to another town where I can have it in my own town with my people, the people I know, the people I trust, my neighbors, my friends, my family, and within my community? I will say, I confess, please don't hold against me or find me, please. I confess, I use the tennis court. Not because I want to, but I have no choice but to, because my dog deserves a good amount of healthy exercise. But I hate tennis court, not because I want to, because I have no choice but to. There's a lot of people actually hate using that tennis court for their dogs, and they hate using it because that's not what they would choose to use, but they have no choice. Not because they use the tennis court because they don't trust their dog with other people out in the field. They want to control the area because they don't trust the people with their dogs sometimes, because some people can be quite rude. Even I have done some people in my neighborhood actually verbally attacked me and my dog just because, well, she's a boxer mix, but she looks like something that she's not.
Oh,
and I don't trust, that's why I have her in the tennis court, because I control that area for her safety and mine. I refuse to have my dog to be approached in such a negative way because of that. What I want is for my, not only for myself, my dog, but my community to have somewhere nice, healthy, safe to share with, not to go to other people's communities to do so. Especially, I don't trust the dog park at the beach. I think somebody said Wimette. I've had many customers / neighbors have complained about that beach. There's a virus there, and it's spreading to all the dogs, and they're getting terribly sick every year, every summer. And I have to deal with many dogs because of that sickness where it's been spreading over and over and over. And that's what I'm concerned about. I feel like as a community, as people, as family, as friends, as neighbors, we deserve this. We need this because this is not 10 years in the making, not 20, this is surpassed 20 years in the making. People have been asking, begging, pleading, talking about this. Even before I had a dog for the past 6 years, when I was a little girl, people have been talking about this. And I think we deserve this. If we work all together, I believe we can do this. As long as we put our minds together and our hearts in it, I think it'll be awesome.
Okay, Shailana, did I say that? Shailana, you're a good public speaker, and you rather summarized a lot of the positive energy in the room, so thank you. Thank you for that, and make sure to apply for the task force.
Yeah.
Yes,
ma'am. Up there.
Okay. Anyone else hasn't had a chance to speak and would like to add anything? Don't be intimidated. You can. Yes, don't be intimidated.
It's really a reiteration of what some other people have said, but Mr. Sussman mentioned that in 2014 there had been a comprehensive plan. Oh, by the way, I'm Susan Isaacs, 1194 Fairfield Road. The need for a dog park was identified probably more like 10 years ago. There was a comprehensive plan before this comprehensive plan, for which dog park came up as a very high need. My dog is 11 and a half years old right now. I'm going to probably be in tears when I talk about her, but she no longer can enjoy a dog park. She's a troubled dog right now. I'm going to get another dog, so I hope to be able to use it. I want to say something about using other communities versus our communities. I have used other community dog parks. I love the one in Lake Forest, which is Wolf. I forget the name of it. But that is a commitment. Very Wolf, and you're going out there for an hour and a half, so you really enjoy yourself. But I want a place where I can walk to and see my neighbor's dog, as you mentioned, to communicate with my neighbors. The dogs don't make a lot of noise.
They really don't.
It becomes, you know, I shouldn't have to drive to Winnetka. And by the way, I'm not sure, I didn't think we were allowed ever to access the Winnetka Park. I didn't think there's...
You can buy it.
Okay, I didn't even think we were allowed. And the cost, and I will say one more thing. I'm a taxpayer here. Okay, I want to say one more thing about the capital budget. I'm a taxpayer here. I can't understand why this initiative was, you know, in two comprehensive plans going back at least 10, it must be 10 years since I had my dog. And we worry, we don't know whether we just put it in the capital budget. We put all kinds of things in a capital budget. So that's just my feeling. But thank you very much. I'm so glad the initiative has gotten to where it is today. I appreciate all of you listening and trying to move this forward. And I hope if I'm going to get another puppy that I'll have a place to take.
Good, good. I like that. All right. And yes, go ahead.
Emily Borowski, I'm echoing all the positives that are going around. We live on Northwood Drive, which is very far north, adjacent to the Forest Preserve. Has the Forest Preserve ever been considered? Is there any sort of relationship? I would love it in my backyard, personally. I would love it.
Yeah.
Right there. Because it's very cloudy to get a dog park.
And typically you don't ask and answer, but Lisa, could you just address that?
Yes. Since the day I arrived here 6 years ago, that was one of my first letters and calls was to the Forest Preserve about a dog park. There every year, I think I called them or sent a letter, including right before our community meeting, I talked to the superintendent of the Forest Preserve. They are not interested in doing a dog park at that property. So as of right now, there's been no leadership change there. I was thinking maybe there might be, but there's been no leadership change there, so I don't see that changing. The only thing the board could do is send a letter
again
from the whole board saying the park district would be very much interested in partnering with you. And that's why I said, I go, you don't have to pay for it. We'll pay for it. Just give us a lease on the land, and that was a no-go. They said they already had dog parks, and not paying for it anymore. That's not in their mission for this that particular piece. So, we did ask.
Lisa, there's nothing preventing a resident of Cook County from...
There's nothing preventing a resident from Cook County contacting them also. And they were more than willing to come to the meeting if we have invited them in the past. He said he would send a representative to the meeting and explain why. So maybe we'll have him come send someone out to task force or something to explain why. But we have asked. And we've had other board members ask. I know the village has asked. There's been many conversations about it.
Great location. It's a great parking.
Wouldn't that be a great location? It'd be so used, but I thought so too because I saw it. And going back to the master plan, you're right. It's been in the master plan. That's one of the first things I saw. So that's why, as soon as I got here, I started making those calls to the Forest Preserve. So,
all right.
Anything else? Oh, one more.
One more. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask the board if they know of any other municipality on the North Shore that does not have a dog park.
Winnetka has
a dog beach. They're actually exploring the idea of a dog park now,
it's
too.
It's disappeared.
It kind of disappeared. So they're exploring the same thing we are, a dog park in that community. And Kenilworth does not have one. Northfield, Kenilworth, Winnetka, they had a dog beach, now it's gone. Similar populations. Deerfield has a very small one, I think it's like 2 acres.
Just 75,000.
So she's,
Lake Bluff doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
they have a big one.
Lake Bluff does? Lake Bluff does?
Yeah, Evanston has one.
Oh, Evanston has one. Lake Bluff? Lake Forest and Lake Bluff, that is owned by the Forest Preserve.
Not exactly.
Yeah, you're right, they do have one.
Not exactly anything you're going to write home about. But it's there.
Okay, all right. So thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Idell. Good to see you. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Yep.
Okay, is there any other business there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Just really quick.
There might be the opportunity for temporary fencing space. It's not your property. It's the Glencoe Golf Course. There's parking, and have you guys reached out?
Yes.
Or you guys have already
thought about that?
Yeah. It's a driving range.
And it's not considered a good idea to go to the driving range.
But during the winter, it's pretty easy.
But it ruins the grass.
Okay, they like it.
Because it would ruin the grass.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Uh-oh.
We have visuals. We have visual aids today.
This is going to cost money.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's not.
We're going to continue on the meeting, so if you want to have conversations, you're more than welcome to, but can you move it out the hallway? Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm going to grab some water.
Yeah, grab some water. What'd you say? Is that Michael Hell?
Yeah.
Hey, you bitch it, Michael. Play bouncer. All right. Thank you very much for the great discussion there. That was very good, and I have some direction to move towards. We're going to talk about just a couple other items. First of all, I want to thank Chris and Bobby. They have been with this extremely wet weather we've had this spring, have done a phenomenal job working with Glencoe Youth Baseball. A phenomenal job. So I want to really the communication between the baseball organization and this cooperation between both organizations really communicating out to their members has made like 150 roundabout from last year. So Chris's guys were Saturday. You saw how much it rained last week.
Yeah.
And they got, he called me Friday and said all games are on and except for West, which didn't have any scheduled. So just to think about that. Snow and then rain all week and they got the fields up and running. It's a combination of Chris and his team really making improvements the last 3 years on the fields to make them more playable faster. Yeah. And that's been a lot of hard work. And the team just working their tails off, and Bobby's team scheduling, working the communication scheduling, it really helped that they moved their season back a couple weeks. In the whole operations before, they would start too early, yeah. And then the fields were pretty much ruined for the whole season. So, and really working well about communication when people are allowed to go on fields, and they're actually they're really respecting when we say you can't go on the fields, and that's making them even more playable. So.
Good.
Kudos to them. Just wanted to update you. They're working on the beach, the pier, obviously with the rainy weather that's been a little delayed. But don't worry, they'll get it done by Memorial Day. They'll get it done. So they've been working really hard on that too. So I'm starting to get a few calls from people upset about certain spring projects, maybe adjacent to their parks next to their home. I've been politely explaining that, you know, it's been raining, just look out the window, and that we have to prioritize. And we prioritize baseball, beach, soccer, because those are the high impact sports and high impact facilities, and that we will eventually get to your neighborhood parks to clean out, to do our spring cleanup, and things like that will happen. It'll just be a little bit delayed. Chris actually got the tennis courts cleaning in earlier when it was a little drier, so that was way ahead of season, and the windscreen's up. I got one complaint about lakefront tennis court, and we're just going to deal with that. But just if you hear anything, it's please explain that, you know, we have a small crew and it's been really wet weather, unusual weather, and the team is working 6 days a week to get it all done. So working on that. Which brings us to, we just wanted to make you aware of Milton Park. So Chris has something to show you. He loves his visual aids.
I brought show and tell tonight. So one of the things that we've talked about in a lot of our dialogues is about the condition of our wooden playgrounds. So as you may remember, last year we had two slide issues with the Milton playground. We made the determination that that's something we felt we could repair. We were able to get the slides remanufactured, sent back to us. So as we started on that in the spring, we started to excavate the footings of the playground, and this is what we came up with. So these are our playground footings at Milton Playground. So this is what they started out looking like. So we actually ended up, if you've seen that playground, having to reduce about 40% of the size of it to keep it to a point that we felt that it was continuing to be useful. So we have three remaining wood playgrounds in our inventory. We have Milton, Lincoln and Crescent, and Lakefront. So we obviously are planning on replacing Lincoln and Crescent next year with the Connect Glencoe project, but it's definitely important to remember that this is out there and these playgrounds are very close to the end of their useful life. So these are the support cribs that actually hold up the playground. So when it went in the ground, it looked like that. And when it came out in March, it looked like this. So that's typically what you don't see as a resident below grade. That's when we make the determination to take the playground out, is when the footings look like this, basically. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a playground that was put in, I believe, in 2006. So that's basically what the end of life looks like for a wood structure.
Chris, do we have any sense of how many people? And I know that it changes when the community changes and people move into a neighborhood with younger kids, but how many people are using that playground?
You know what? It's interesting. The history of that playground is there used to be not be a playground there, and then when they did the construction of this facility, Rick took the playground that was here, and it was, you know, probably, he was like, oh, it has a few years left, and he put it out there, now making a standard of a playground. So that's a very small neighborhood playground that probably does not get a ton of use, would you say?
He would be unable to probably put back that existing structure in the footprint that's there now. There were limited pieces there, and what's there now is kind of like an amalgamation of parts they had in the Take It playground when they renovated the facility.
Not move our preschool and daycare out of this building. This playground literally was, you know, in front of community hall.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in the front yard. And there were tents to connect the area. Kids had to walk through the different sections when we did the asbestos abatement. And so it was probably not until 2008 that it was put in for Milton.
But a question of use, it's probably not one of our heavily used parks, and that's something really that when we're talking about, you know, adding new amenities and then looking at what we currently have, is this something that we should add back in? If we should say, well, we have Friends Park right down the street, and we have Old Elm, and then we have Lincoln Crescent all in the quadrant, just because there was always a playground there, is that really the best use of our resources?
Something else with it is less expensive, but also adding something for the community.
Without cutting trees down, we will not get a playground the size of what we have now in there, back in there.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So
we've talked about this before.
We have.
The consensus was we know that, we're okay with that. We obviously still want green space there. There is a homeowner that's right there that would, you know, expect that.
We do get calls from the adjacent homes about the park, but it's really like, in my experience, the 4 or 5 people who live within eyeshot of the park who call about it.
I was thinking something nice, like some benches where you could sit and enjoy the day.
Or even just like a green space to just kick a ball around. I mean, maybe that's what you put in that space.
That's not a bad idea. I've spoken to people there, and they really like it, and they say this is where we all gather. I mean, you're just going to get that everywhere, but it's small. Mm-hmm. It's very small. It's never going to be anything like a woodlawn.
Oh, not even, it won't even, it can't even be like an old Elm or Astor, and those are our smallest neighborhood parks.
I mean, it's the pocketiest of the pocket parks, you know. So.
And
come up with something nice.
We just wanted to plant the seed because sooner rather than later, probably in June, we'll start our capital projects discussion for to really nail down a 3-year, and those are the kind of things we have to look at. Just, you know, obviously we have next year's project already set with the Connect Glencoe, but we want to really look long term because sooner or later this playground, lakefront playground, probably won't last 2 years. So we want to make those decisions earlier. Instead of being reactive, be proactive and say, okay, this is, we're not going to replace this, or we are going to replace them, this is what we're going to replace them with. So we should have that discussion. So this just showed the urgency.
And Lakefront is a destination park. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've always designated it, you know, that, Friends Park, Shelton.
Right.
I think we've met up with one, obviously, over at West School. But those are the parks that we're sort of committed as a park district to maintaining at the highest levels because we want people to utilize that, those parks wherever possible to get out to the community.
And it is a trade-off. We can't do everything.
Right.
Which is why Eric Anderson will be coming in
So that is really the kickoff to our capital projects. That will be our June meeting. Mm-hmm. Will be to have Eric Anderson come and give us the financial overview, and that will kick off our discussions probably in July, or we might have a couple more meetings or something like that, and to kick off that capital projects discussion. Because there's as we talk to Eric, there's things coming up. There's the minimum wage. There's, you know, other things that are going to affect how much we can generate from programs for that. So we just wanted to put it's a good to see that visual. We always talk about it, and it's hard to show you when we're out there. Like, it looks fine, and this was a perfect example of why it doesn't really look fine. But
I think we would agree too that we would like it to be there until it really can.
Well, so that's the effort we're making, but like
that's the effort we're making. But you see what
this is we're at the point of starting to address our problem with that. So that's the playground that 2 years from now I wouldn't take bets on it being up.
And maybe not even a year. So because we want to show you why, because you look at it as a layperson and go, it looks totally fine, and we're telling you it's not. You just have to trust us that that's what it's looking like underneath the ground. So,
okay.
Anything else that we have? I don't think so. Oh, Woodlawn.
The grading issue?
Oh, yes, please. Yes,
so,
thank you. Sorry.
Now that we've had like the rainiest spring ever, except for the last three other rainiest springs ever, we have noticed that we had some a series of flooding on the Linden side of the Woodlawn project. So if you've gone by, you've noticed that we haven't planted grass on that side of the park. We're actually holding the contractor's payment. We have not paid them for that job. Because I'm unhappy with the way that end of the park turned out. So we're working with our civil engineer to have that be graded in the fashion that we paid for versus the fashion that we've gotten right now, which is why we're seeing some flooding along the sidewalks, specifically along the Linden end, on the Green Bay end. There's flooding on the sidewalk, but it's the village sidewalk and it's pitched away from the park, and it's not something we address in our project. But on the Linden side of things, that's something that we expect the contractor to rectify, and we will not be paying them until they do that.
May I add something? I spoke with somebody about this. The entrance that I see most people coming to the Woodlawn Park is that corner, of Linden and Woodlawn. They come on their bikes, which I love, and they come with their strollers, but there isn't anywhere for them to park them other than the sidewalk itself, which then impedes traffic of people coming through. When you're considering this issue with flooding and grading and all the rest of it, please at least consider something that might help that, because I pass by there a lot and it's a problem.
I think people are definitely going to be more likely to put their strollers in the grass when it's not all muddy.
Yeah, maybe
right
that'll
now,
help.
You go there, you don't really have a place to like lay your stroller down or your bike because it is all muddy. But I think we can evaluate that as we go and see what we think we need to do.
Are we seeding it?
We are going to be seeding it. Some seed mat has already gone down. We're expecting the fence to go in in the next couple of weeks as well. We're kind of working on plantings right now, whether we're going to do those in the spring or the fall, depending on how things go with the weather. The snow has not lent itself to success there, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to figure that out.
Okay.
There's actually a resident who requested a stop sign there because right now it's going to it, and the village approved it. So just want to make sure.
Great. Yeah. Look
That's
at that.
Great. Excellent. We did that.
On the positive
we
side,
agree.
The kids love it.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole thing's positive. It's a great park,
yeah,
so.
Oh
that's awesome.
It's pretty well.
It's like your kids, everyone is your favorite, and that one's my favorite right now.
Yeah. Until the next one, and then it'll
Until
be a favorite.
Until the next one, and then that's my favorite.
And
you know?
Then the next one to be a favorite. Okay.
Thank you,
so if we're really down in the dumps, somebody just say Woodlawn. And then
it's good.
Feel good again.
It's so cool. A really shitty park, so.
I don't think the contractor feels that way.
Anything, any other questions?
No, everything's no? good. This is my last meeting.
I know, your last one. You have
well,
just one half a board meeting.
Until you're called into service again, my friend.
My plan is to come to board meetings and get up and heckle the new guy.
Yell at him for not speaking loud enough. Stuff like that.
Over the 3 minutes.
Okay.
You see me squirm, yeah.
At least you all have no heart, no soul.
We got done with everyone.
Using euphemisms, yes, yes. All right.
So we just need a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
So made.
Okay, Kimball, second. All in favor?
Aye.